I want you to open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 for the message today. And I want to share a truth with you this morning, something that just kind of jumped off the page at me this week. I trust it will be an encouragement and a blessing to your heart. And pray that that the Lord will use this morning. I'd like to read the whole chapter to you, 21 verses, but for the sake of time, I'll not do that. Although I'm going to refer to several things in the chapter, but we'll begin reading in verse 1, and I want you to pay attention to the story. The text is actually verse 15, but I want you to pay attention to the story, get the story down, and it will better help you understand the point that I want to stress this morning from verse 15. We begin in verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Now Eli was the high priest, and Samuel was the child that was sent to intern to assist to help the high priest. The high priest is elderly. He's in need of assistance, and you'll remember that Samuel's mother prayed for him and said that when she got her child that she would give him back to God. And so she did. She brought him to Eli, and he is now working, interning at the temple, at the tabernacle where the ark and so forth was set up. So in verse 1, the Bible continues. It says, "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Now, I want you to notice that. The word of the Lord was precious. I've looked up the word precious. The Hebrew word there is the word rare. The word of the Lord was rare. In other words, there were very few people that were hearing from God. God was not working because of the hardness of heart and because the people were not responding and listening. And so the word of the Lord was precious. It was rare in those days. There was no open vision. Now look at verse 2. "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, 'Here am I.'" Now the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Remember, that's the God of the covenant, Jehovah God. This is the God of redemption. Every time this word is used in the Old Testament, there is redemption connected to it. All right? And so the Lord spoke. And notice what happened here. In verse 5, he, Samuel, ran into Eli. When he heard the Lord call his name, he thought Eli was calling for him. And so he ran into Eli. And it says, "He ran into Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he, Eli, said, 'I called not. Lie down again.' And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son. Lie down again.'" Now, at this point in the story, the author, the Holy Spirit, through the author, gives us a little bit of more insight as to what was going on. Now, look at verse 7. It said, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." So naturally, when he heard his name being called, he didn't know that it was the Lord. He didn't know the Lord. He didn't know God was speaking to his heart. And so he went into Eli. Verse 8, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.'" And finally, after the third time, Eli, the high priest, perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood. Wow. Did you get that, folks? the Lord came and stood before this young man. What a night that was. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And in verse 11 through verse 14, the Lord speaks and tells Samuel what his plan for his life is going to be. He outlines for him that Eli is going to be removed and that Samuel would take his place. Samuel was going to be the high priest. Samuel was going to be the man. And look at verse 15 now. It's after this great experience, after in verse 10, the Lord shows up, and verse 11 through verse 14, the Lord tells him what he wants him to do and what he's going to do in his life. In verse 15, it says, and Samuel lay. Now notice, he didn't sleep. Could you have gone back to sleep? I don't think so. I know I couldn't. It says, and Samuel lay until the morning. Now watch, here's what I want you to see. And opened the doors of the house of the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning on the responsibility of duty. The responsibility of duty. He had this great experience, but it did not keep him from doing what was his duty to do. Let's pray together and end the message. Our Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. What a wonderful book this is. And Lord, what makes this so different from any other book is that this is your book. And this, Lord, is inspired of heaven. And Lord, you breathed into holy men of old and they spake as you led them. And Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And now what a great passage of Scripture. What a great story this is that we read in the Bible. And yet, Lord, there are things here that we need to see and we need to understand. So I pray that you will open our minds to receive the truth of thy word today. Lord, I pray that you will minister your word to every heart and that, Lord, not a one of us will exempt ourselves from what we're about to hear. May the application ring in every soul. And Father, use it to draw us closer to thee. Lord, that's why we've come. We've come to hear from heaven. We've come to hear your word and have your word convict our hearts and then have allow us to willingly surrender and yield ourselves to you. So, Father, bless it for your honor and your glory, and we'll give you praise and glory for what's accomplished in Jesus' name and amen. This was a great hour in the life of this child, Samuel. A great hour. If you look at verse 7, you will see that the Holy Spirit informs us that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. But things were about to change. In verse 4, the Lord called unto him. In verse 6, the Lord called again. And then in verse 8, the Lord calls a third time. Each time that the Lord spoke to young Samuel and called to him, Samuel, not knowing the Lord and thus not knowing that it was the Lord who was calling, went to Eli and thought that Eli was calling him. Finally, the man of God, quote unquote, the man of God figures out that it was not him and he was not hallucinating, but that it was the Lord that was calling out to the young man. And so in verse 9, he advised him that the next time he heard the voice, he was to say, speak, my Lord, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And folks, I want you to realize, I want you to stop and consider what a great event this was in Samuel's life. I want you to think about what a great hour it was when God came and spoke and called him. For not only do we have God calling, we have his conversion, we have his salvation experience, we have his conversion, and we have his call, but not only that, we also have his commission. I mean, God covered all the bases for this guy, for this boy, in 1 hour. Just in one night, God did everything for him. He called him, converted him, and he commissioned him. Now, can you not imagine the intense excitement that must have stirred in Samuel's heart? Think about it. He's just a child. Everybody seems to think that he was between the ages of 8 and 13. He's just a child. The Bible refers to him here as a child. So that certainly means he was under 13. At 13, you got you were considered a man after your bar mitzvah. And so in all probability, he is between the ages of 8 and 13, just a boy, just a child, and yet here he is, away from home, away from his mother's tender care, serving as an intern in the house of the Lord, just a boy, and God shows up, and God speaks to him. Wow! I can't even imagine that. I mean, God called him by name, folks. And in verse 10, we read that the Lord came and stood in front of him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? The Lord coming and standing in front of him and giving him his marching orders. I mean, just imagine it, folks. He had heard the voice that alters everything so life can never be the same for him again. But I want you to notice the text verse that I have chosen this morning, verse 15. In verse 11 through verse 14, God spoke to him and gave him his commission. He basically says to him that he is going to do a thing in Israel that's going to cause everybody's ears to tingle. He's going to do something in Israel that will just absolutely transform and change Israel's future. He says that he is going to remove Eli and his house, and he was going to make Samuel the man through whom he would speak to the people. And here's this young man, this young boy, getting this information from God. He told him what he intended to do with him in his life, and then Samuel lay in his bed until morning, and I want you to notice what happened in the morning in verse 15. After this tremendous night of a vision, after this tremendous night of having God speak to him, in verse 15, at the normal appointed time, the young man got up and opened the doors of the Lord's house. Now, folks, that to me is amazing. That's a strange thing. I read that this week, and I was just reading basically for my own edification, not looking for a sermon, and I read this and thought about what a great night it must have been, and then I got to verse 15, and Samuel lay until the morning, and I chuckled and said, I wouldn't have gone to sleep either. I would have just laid there, eyes wide open. But at the appointed hour, he got up, and he opened the doors of the Lord's house because that was his duty, that was his job, that was his responsibility. And even in spite of the great night of vision that he had, he got up and did what he was supposed to do the next morning. What a wonderful attribute to have in your life. Duty and obedience to that duty. I mean, folks, think about it. It seems strange to me that after such a thrilling and wonderful experience that no doubt kept him up all night, I mean, he had a vision of God. God showed up. God spoke to him. God called him. And yet when the sun began to rise in the eastern sky, he got up and opened the doors, pulled back the curtains, and got the tabernacle ready to receive people that day. He had duties previously assigned that he faithfully performed. He had duties that had been given him earlier that he did regardless of what had happened that night. It is characteristic of this faithful soul that after an hour that changed the world for him, he went back again to lowly, menial responsibilities. Voice or no voice, the doors must be opened. And this was his personal and given duty. This was his assignment. This was his task. No vision, however exciting and thrilling, must hinder him from his appointed duties. And it is a splendid trait in Samuel's character that after the most thrilling hour of his life, he got up when he was supposed to the next morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord when the morning light came. Our duty. Folks, I want to speak to you this morning on the responsibility of duty. We all have our duty before God. Every one of us who knows Christ as Savior, we have a duty that God expects us to do. And I want to speak to you today on the subject of our responsibility in duty. Listen very carefully. The first thing that I want to point out, I want to make a beeline to Jesus right now and show you that this is the way Jesus lived His life. I want to make a beeline to Christ and show you that this same fidelity, this same determination, this same character is clearly seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you an illustration. There are three times in the Synoptics, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptic means similar, and there are three times in the Synoptic Gospels, the similar Gospels, where we have recorded for us the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. What a great event that was. The transfiguration of Jesus, Matthew 17, Luke 9, and Mark 9. And all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record for us the transfiguration of Christ. You remember that great event. For the Lord Jesus, that was His hour of vision. For the Lord Jesus, that was His hour of vision. Now, folks, think about it. What an event that was. You remember, He took the inner circle of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and He went up into a high mountain. And alone with these three disciples, he all of a sudden is transformed before them, transfigured before them. All of a sudden, up on the mountain, a cloud descends upon the mountain, blinding them from everything but themselves. And in the midst of that, Matthew tells us that the Lord Jesus' face did shine as the sun, that His raiment was as white as the light. And according to Luke 9, Moses and Elijah showed up. And as Jesus was in all of His splendor and glory before the three apostles, Moses and Elijah show up, and they start conversing and talking about the cross and about the suffering that Jesus must endure. Now, folks, think about it. Think about it. Could we have wondered, had He lingered there on the mountain in that joy and thrill, in that moment of delight, when the cloud descended and came upon them and Moses and Elijah appeared? Would we have been shocked had we read that Jesus said, "Fellas, we're just going to stay here and enjoy this"? If you'll remember, Peter was so thrilled with what was taking place, he looked over at Jesus and said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." Well, I guess it would be. I mean, my goodness, think about it, folks. No wonder Peter spoke up. "Lord, it's good for us to be here." Of course it would be good. Could you imagine, folks, being in that scenario? But what happened? Well, they could not stay in the vision. They could not stay on the mountaintop. No matter how glorious and exciting it was, they could not stay. Because no matter which one of these three you go to, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, it'll tell you that the reason they could not stay was because down below there was a man who had a son. And that son was possessed with a devil. And he could find no relief for his boy. He went to the doctors and they couldn't help. He came to the disciples and they prayed over him and they couldn't help. And so Jesus knew that that young man was down there in need, and there's no way that he could stay up in the time and place of blessing and vision where he was transfigured, where heaven fell, where the voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Even though Peter and all the rest of them wanted to stay, they could not stay. And Jesus said, "No, we must go down. For a boy below was breaking his father's heart. A boy below was a soul that could not find relief." And the point is, folks, Jesus could not relinquish His duty just because of the vision. Now think of the contrast. Up on the mountain, there's the voice of God that speaks. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And down in the valley, where men doubted and jeered and mocked and refused to believe. Down in the valley where the devil had been doing his evil work of torturing and brutalizing the minds of men. But this didn't stop Jesus from doing his duty and coming down off of that mountain. Let's just stay here, the apostle said. This is wonderful. But Jesus said, no, we must go. There is a hurting soul that I must help. He had a ministry of tenderness that had to be performed. And folks, this was his duty and this was his task. His purpose was to seek and save that which was lost. He was sent to be the good physician, to heal and to restore that which sin and Satan had ruined and destroyed. And no enriching hour of heavenly vision could keep him from his duty. And as I read 1 Samuel this week, and I got to that 15th verse, I started thinking about this passage of Scripture, for I had just read it a little bit earlier in the day. But as I read Samuel, I thought, man, that's just like Jesus. Jesus didn't just bask and glow in the radiance of what happened to him on that mountain. He left all that and went down to help some poor soul that was in need. He did his duty. Folks, I'm saying that duty has to be done. It has to be done. We've got to do what is our duty to do. The lowly tasks had to be attended to. And so here's old Samuel. And when the morning came, regardless of how grand the night, he had to get up and open the doors and perform his assigned duty. Now, does everybody see the truth? Everybody see the point there? Nod your heads like this if you do. All right, all four of you. Thank you. All right, number two. I'm going to go on. I don't care if you get it or not. I'm going to go on. Number two. Man, I hope you see that. Folks, do you not see this? All right, wake up for Pete's sake. Number two, let's make this thought applicable to us today. Now, let's bring it to where we live. Think with me, folks. This is a valuable lesson. And boy, we all need to learn. If we're going to be, if we're going to live so that we please the Lord in our lives, we need to learn this little lesson. Listen to how we can apply this. It is difficult. It is difficult to get back to duty after enriching or unsettling hours. Now, just think with me, all right? Just think with me. I don't know how many times I've observed this over the years. I don't know how many times. It just doesn't take a whole lot to get us away from duty, does it? It just doesn't take a whole lot. You know, the least little thing can get us off track. We can, I've never understood this. We can do well from September to May. That's when school's in session. And then all of a sudden, the 1st of June, summer comes and the kids are out of school and the vacation season hits, and it's like we put duty on hold for 3 months. I've never understood that. I've never understood that. I don't know why church attendance has to drop during the summer. Now, folks, I understand that you need a vacation, but a three-month vacation? I have problems with that. I remember one time down in West Virginia, I announced that I was going to take a vacation. We were going to be gone for 2 Sundays. And this man came up to me, and he said, well, God doesn't take a vacation. And I said, I'm not taking a vacation from God. I'm taking a vacation from you. Folks, I know there's vacation. I understand that, but not 3 month vacations. You know, I mean, just because school's not in session, that does, and we're not having master's clubs, that's no reason for you not to come to church. I mean, let me give you another example. Living Cross Week comes. Man, I love Living Cross Week. It's a lot of work. It is hard work. And I'm sure it's much more difficult for many of you than it is for me. Basically, all I do is come in and welcome everybody and pray, and then at the end I give a little gospel message, which I can do without even thinking about it, and I'm done. But for many of you, you know, it's a trying week, And that week comes and God blesses and heaven opens and man, we see the blessings of the Lord every night and Sunday night and Tuesday night and Thursday night and Friday night and hundreds of people get saved and the building's packed every night. I mean, it's just a wonderful time. But there's something I've never understood since I've been here, except for this, to apply this principle. You know, Easter Sunday is supposed to be the biggest day of the year for the church. But I've noticed for the last 11 years that Easter Sunday is really a letdown around here. Do you know why? I mean, the reason is because we have given and given and sacrificed and given and been here and labored and toiled, hundreds of us, all week long for Living Cross. And then the devil starts whispering in our ear on Saturday, oh, you're tired. Why don't you take the kids and go somewhere? Why don't you go do this or go do that? Or you just sleep in today. Why, after all, you've been there all week long. Look at what you've done. And so Sunday comes in and it's a letdown. Folks, I just think, I mean, praise God for the nights of vision, for those highlight events where it seems that heaven falls upon us and the Lord shows up and we tingle and thrill with His blessing. But after that, duty is still on the plate and it must be attended to. Sometimes, too, when great sorrow comes, it has a similar effect upon us. You know, nothing is harder after a time of sorrow than to resume the interrupted duty. I see this all the time. I mean, death will strike the home. And it takes weeks, months, before you get back in the groove again. That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. When serious illness knocks at the door, when one of the kids breaks our hearts, when the cutbacks cause us to lose our means of supporting our family. But folks, listen, when the trials come, remember Samuel. Remember what happened to him was earth-shattering. What happened to him did not, though, keep him from the appointed duties the very next morning. I mean, people are still dying and going to hell faster than we can stop them. God still needs to be worshipped in spirit and truth. Missionaries still need our prayers and our financial support. The buses still need to run. I mean, just stop and think about what is your duty. All right, listen. You all know that the news media, Channel 11, Channel 2, Channel 13, Channel 45, all they want you to do is watch their broadcast. That's all they want you to do. And so they aggrandize everything that goes on. Which means they aggrandize the weather reports. They got you thinking, oh no. And folks, listen, you know the pattern, Wednesday and Sunday. It always snows Wednesday and Sunday. I don't understand that. I talked to a preacher in Michigan this week and I said, let me ask you a question. Does it always snow on Wednesday and Sunday in Michigan? He said, yes. It's amazing. And if you sit on Saturday night and say, oh, I got to find out what the weather's going to be tomorrow, and you click it on and it says, well, we're going to get snowed on tonight, boy. You know, it could be nasty in the morning. Folks, listen, be careful with all that stuff. Be careful with all they want you to do is listen. And they said last night, it's going to snow. Well, it's going to snow. And boy, there are people that are not here this morning because they watched the news last night and the news told them it was going to snow. Like it's never snowed before. Duty. I got my bulletin out when they laid it on my desk this week. And the first thing I do is what I always do. I went over to the financial report. Last week's offering was like, what, $40,000? the week before, not last Sunday. Last Sunday, remember last Sunday? It snowed. You know, place was packed Sunday morning, Sunday night. I could have stood up here blindfolded myself, spun around three times and thrown a hymn book, not hit anybody. Hey, you all went to work Monday morning. That got quiet there, didn't it? You all went to work Monday morning. But I can't go to church. It's snowing. All for Pete's sake. Now, folks, I'm not, well, maybe a little, I'm fussing a little bit. Because we got duty. Our missionaries still need to be paid. Listen, you didn't tithe last week because you didn't come back to church Sunday night because it snowed, because you were afraid. All right? Listen, make sure you tithe today. Catch up. Missionaries still need to be paid. Look at these poor starving souls. I've got to feed these poor starving souls. This one here is really undernourished. I can, you know, look at him. Look at him. Bless his heart. We got to run the buses. We got to feed people this week. Every week, dozens of people come by here. They depend upon us feeding them. I don't know if you knew that, but that's true. We feed. That's why we have the food pantry down there. We feed dozens of people every week. Every week. Not a week pass. Winter, summer, spring, fall, doesn't matter. Duty. Duty. But seek ye first. You listening? Yeah. Say, but preacher, I'm afraid to drive in the snow. Listen, if they call a state of emergency, use your heads, all right? But now, a dusting of snow. Call Brother Allen, he'll come get you. You say, well, I'm not coming out if it's bad. Listen, if you're elderly, please, I understand that. My goodness, I understand that scenario. But folks, duty, duty, duty. We have a responsibility. There are going to be those days when we have the monumental, the earth-shattering, the devastating. We're going to have our situations. But listen, let's learn to be like Samuel and deal with it. And then get back to our duties that have been given to us by the Lord. All right, one more thought. Now that you're all mad at me. One more thought. We need to understand. We must not forget. The greater vision is to equip us to better accomplish our duties. I mean, folks, listen. When the blessings come, you know, when the blessings come, we say, whoo, man, what a service. Amen. Boy, God spoke to my heart. Boy, I really got something out of that service. God really got a hold of me. Well, the reason he did is so that tomorrow you can do your duty better. And Paul teaches us that the trial that we have to go through, the difficult times, the heartbreaking times, the sorrowful times, they're all for a reason. It's to prepare you and to get you ready for something down the road. You know, God is not this big old mean ogre that sits up in heaven and says, I think I'm just going to blast you. He doesn't do that. But he'll put you through the trial, put you through the fire, so that when you come out the other side, you're pure. He can better use you. You know, the vision, the blessings. The vision is so wonderful that we ought to get excited about our duties. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm going to share this. I've told you folks this. It's no secret. But I labor every Sunday morning when that alarm goes off. I just roll over and I think to myself, 8:30 in the morning. And every time I see Dr. Smith, I smack him. Well, what was that for? I said, for starting at 8:30 in the morning service. That's why. And he just laughed. He was a morning person. I'm not a morning person. I don't do mornings. I mean, not just on Sunday. I'm talking Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I hate to get up and I hate to go to bed. I've just always been that way. And, you know, it's not easy to come in here and, you know, folks are dragging in and they're late and they're running in. They sit down like, you know, huffing and puffing and you're not really into the service yet. And half of them don't come in until we're singing the second song anyway. And so then, you know, but boy, once y'all start singing, my heart changes. I get excited. Once I hear the choir sing, I don't care if it's 8:30 in the morning. I get excited. And then I want to just get up here and just preach my sermon. Just, I deliver it with the same fire, same intensity, same excitement as I do the second service. I just get excited about it. And then when the second service is over, I can't wait for Sunday night. But now, wait a minute. Tuesday morning, I'm off on Monday. Tuesday morning, I got some duties. Folks, what I do here on Sunday, this is the easy part. Trust me on that one. This is the easy part. Coming in here, standing up, preaching, that's the easy part. The hard part is what I do on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. That's the hard part. Because that's when I have to administrate this place. That's when I have to make the decisions. That's when I have to make it the stand. That's when I have to guard against the devil's intrusion. That's when I have to study and prepare the sermons. That's when I have to deal with the heartache and the heartbreak that the devil throws at some of you. That's when I have to deal with the sicknesses. That's when I have to deal with the devil fighting me tooth and nail at every turn of the way. That's when it's hard. But that's my duty. Folks, this is nothing more than icing on the cake for me. This gives me the opportunity to come in and share with you what God has done for me in the preparation. This is the easy part. You've never heard me come in here and say, well, I don't feel like preaching today. No! You've never heard me walk in here and say, well, folks, this sermon stinks, but here goes. I come in ready to go because I do my best to do my duty through the week. And you know, if on Monday morning, instead of getting up and listening to the devil's music all week long, you'd get up and start in the book, maybe you'd want to hear what I got to say when you come on Sunday too. Amen. Amen, preacher. It's good to preach it. But you see, if I don't do my duties through the week, now let's suppose that Tuesday morning I decide, I'm tired, I ain't going to work today, I'm going to stay home. So I sit down my chair, watch TV all day, eat popcorn, ice cream, hot dogs, cotton candy. Wednesday morning I decide, I ain't going in today. I don't feel like it. Thursday morning, I get up and I say, I'm sick from all that junk I've been eating. I don't think I'll go to work today. Friday morning, I say, come on, Alan, let's go play golf. We go play golf. Saturday morning, I get up and I say, I think I'll go shopping today. That'd be a strange event, wouldn't it? I'm going shopping. So I run around all day long. Sunday morning comes in. I walk in. I say, ooh, man, now 8:30 in the morning, Sunday morning, I got to preach. Uh-oh. What am I going to do now? Okay, I'll just preach on whatever. Judas went out and hung himself. That won't work. Go thou and do likewise. No, that won't work. Whatsoever thou doest it quickly. No, I got to do my duty because if I don't, we're not going to have anything here on Sunday. You see what I'm saying? And folks, what is our duty? It is our responsibility. It's what God gives us. And here's old Samuel. Man, what a night he had. What a night he had. He could have pulled the covers up and said, well, man, after the night I had, who cares if them doors get opened or not? No, the doors had to be opened. There were people coming that were depending upon those doors being opened. And so he got up and he did his duty. And folks, I know that some of you are struggling. I know that some of you are having a hard time. I know that you've gotten a bad report from the doctor. I know that your heart is broken. Listen, great Sunday services reveal our possibilities. But following those great Sunday services by doing our daily duty Monday through Saturday reveals our true consecration. Anyone can praise God on Sunday when the Lord shows up. It's another thing to praise God on Monday morning when the car won't start. Anybody can shout amen on Sunday, but how about shouting on Monday morning when you're called to perform your duties? Here's young Samuel. What a great example to us all. What a great example. Called by God, converted by God, commissioned by God, and all in the same night. All in the same night. What a wonderful evening this was. But thank God he was faithful to his call. And he opened the doors of the Lord's house. Thank God for folks who do their duties in the morning who had a great experience the night before. May God help us to do our duties. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Well, our Father, we thank you for our time together this morning, and I pray that you will bless it to our hearts. And Lord, give us a heart that wants to be obedient and perform the duties that are before us. Father, I pray that you will just give us a burden for what we've heard this morning. Father, I know there are so many faithful, dedicated souls here that are faithful to their duties, and for that, Lord, I rejoice. And I'm not sure that every pastor could say that, but Lord, we have so many, and thank you for each one. But Lord, help us to determine in our hearts this morning that we're going to be that responsible person, that we're going to be that faithful person, that Lord, when the trials come or when the blessings come, we're not going to say, well, I can't do my duty now. Lord, give us a desire to be like Samuel and just say, my duties are my duties, and I'm going to do them. And Lord, that we'll be here, and that we'll learn, and we'll grow. And Lord, we'll do what we're supposed to do. And Lord, thereby honor and glorify you in our lives. So Lord, thank you for this truth, and I pray you will bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. How many will say here tonight or this morning, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart this morning. I know the Lord, I'm saved. And when you talk about our duties, I realize that I haven't been as faithful to my duty before God as I should. And God's dealing with my heart about it today. Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over this building and let's pray together about this. Yes, God bless you, folks. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Are there others? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. How about upstairs? Yes, God bless you, folks. Amen. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Many, many hands. Thank the Lord for that. All right, you may put them down. Let me ask one more question. Maybe there's somebody here today, and you're not sure you're saved and on your way to heaven. You say, preacher, if I died today, I just don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. Pastor, pray for me this morning. Would you lift your hand, dear friend? Let me pray for you today. Just lift your hand and hold it up. You're not sure you're saved, but you know you need to be. You want to be remembered in prayer this morning. Anybody? All right. Now, Father, you know our need today, and I pray that you will meet the needs of our hearts. Lord, all over this building, young and middle-aged and elderly, folks raise their hand. And Lord, I pray now that you will help us to deal with whatever it is that you're convicting our hearts about this morning. And Lord, give us a burden to want to serve and to live for Christ. Father, to do the duty that has been committed unto us. And Lord, I just pray that you will speak to every heart. May this altar be filled this morning as folks are submitting themselves to you. Lord, do your work now and speak to hearts, and we'll thank you for what's done. In Jesus' name, and amen.